Welcome along to William Hill's Boxing Podcast. Steve Bunce on the line from LA, ready for Fury versus Wilder this weekend. We're going to have a quick look at the undercard as well, Buncey. But before we start talking about the fight, tell us about the build-up. What's it been like? It must have been a bit manic, I imagine.
Yeah, it's been a bit hectic because this is a hectic city, remember, Lee. Just to get from A to B requires an awful lot of planning. And even the planning sometimes falls way short of your destination. We had a fairly decent press conference at the head-to-head. It was very civilised. In fact, there were some lovely lines. And then they had a face-off, and that was going okay, the usual stuff. And then something happened. I think it was because Deontay Wilder's one of his fingers, the nail on his finger, connected accidentally with Tyson's cheek, left side of his cheek. And that sent everybody into a mad, crazy rage. The stage was invaded. People were nearly falling off. A woman with a child, I think it was Deontay Wilder's partner, was desperately trying to push her baby away from the stage. It got a bit ugly. I've read what people have written about it who weren't there, and they seem to think it was pure pantomime. Well, it was pantomime in the sense that they were pushing and shoving and no one got an axe out or shot anybody. But I can assure you, for about 6 or 7 feet, it was very serious, very real, and very nasty. And the security here were very concerned. There was about 3 or 4 minutes. And, of course, Tyson topped it with a brilliant and classical Tyson Fury trick. He removed his top, hit his chest, and said, "No man born of any woman can beat this man." It was slapstick, it was fast, but it was nasty also.
I like the fact that he didn't put his top back on for a while. And even when I think you guys interviewed him for the BBC, he put his jacket on, but not his top. it's just fantastic.
It was a very funny look, I've got to tell you.
Let's have a look at the fight then, Buncey. The undercard doesn't have any big bets that we think we can get involved in. I mean, we're talking 1 to 100 shots, 1 to 25 shots on the undercard. But, you know, it'd be an interesting night for the likes of Joe Joyce fighting. He's a 1 to 100 against Joe Hanks, who's 16 to 1. Just to run through some of the other ones. I mean, you've got the likes of Luis Ortiz at 1 to 100 as well. Chris Arreola's at 1 to 33. So we're not going to make any money quick on any of these here. Joe Joyce, be a massive experience for him, though. But, you know, this kind of pay-per-view bill, you know, on a huge night, which... he may be topping one day.
That's exactly what Joe told me when I spoke to him yesterday. So this is all planning. This is all training for the day when it's my name at the top of the bill and I'm in charge of this. Also what it does, it's allowed Joe to be in town for 3 days to do loads of media chats. Obviously, he spent some time sparring with Tyson Fury. So he's been much in demand. So he's been dragged from one table to another table in front of one camera to be put in front of another camera. And it's clearly given him a bit of a buzz. So I spent a bit of quiet time with him yesterday and he was really excited. I mean, he's loved it because that's kind of priceless, that. You know, you can do your stuff in the gym, you're away in isolation. You can do your sparring, you're away in isolation, the doors are closed. But when you have a week like this where you've got an awful lot of media, the people in charge of the media, the company in charge of processing the accreditation told us yesterday, or actually told us on Wednesday, that the media requests are bigger than anything they do in the last decade other than Floyd Mayweather fights. So the international and the domestic media requests have excelled anything they do other than Floyd Mayweather. And it's got that feel to it, even in this large, crazy city where it's enormous. You know, it's 80 miles wide. It's quite ridiculous, to be perfectly honest with you. A short drive is 11 miles, that type of thing. Even in this crazy, crazy city, when you're close to where there's the press conference taking place, or today there'll be the weigh-in, there is a genuine buzz. And, you know, there is something happening. And that's hard, because in a city this big, it's really, look at it this way, okay? When you get a rowboat in a lake in one of the London parks, it's a small boat and then it's in a smallish lake. You stick that rowboat in the Atlantic, it's completely lost, isn't it? And that's a bit like this fight, really. It's a rowboat in the Atlantic.
But it seems to be catching hold. That's the kind of the flavour you get from the podcast that you've sent over and other bits and pieces as well. Let's look at the big fight then. Fury is 6-5 as we record this on Friday afternoon UK time. Wilder 8-11. So it's a tight one, and this is what we always want in these fights. The draw 25-1, incidentally. I'll take a few kind of things that people are talking about with regards to this fight, Bunce, and you can kind of give your view on them. Is it boxer versus puncher?
There is a boxer in the ring and there is a puncher in the ring, and both of the boxers this week have done their best to explain that they could be wearing the mantle that the other guy's wearing. Fury insists that he can punch. Don't worry, people are forgetting that, and the people around him keep reminding people Fury can punch. And Wilder and his people have been desperate to tell people, hey, we can box. You don't get and do what I did as an amateur without a lot of boxing ability. I think this is what's happened. I think over the last 5, 6, 7 years, as Wilder has piled up the unconscious bodies on the left-hand side, he's not bothered throwing any jabs or boxing. He just goes out and hits people on the chin. And I think Fury, after getting involved and maybe running out of steam once or twice, has worked out that if he's evasive, if he's elusive, if he keeps it long and grabs people, turns them around and hits them with a jab and moves off, he makes life easy. So I think they're both doing what they're probably best at. So that makes it really boxer against puncher, but they can both reverse those roles. And that's something I've been trying to bang on about, like some kind of... like one of the many, many homeless and mentally damaged people that are wandering around this city. And I'm talking about thousands of them. I talked about them in The Independent as this shameful, tented ghetto. And it really is, you know, never more than about 100 feet in downtown LA from a temporary 30 or 40 tent pitched with people who are clearly suffering from mental illnesses wandering around. And so that's how I felt this week, trying to tell people that Fury can bang and Wilder can box.
It's interesting. I was watching a piece Richie Woodall and Jamie Moore did around the kind of tactics of the fight and how they saw the fight panning out. And they spoke, you know, very eloquently and demonstrated really well to someone who, you know, like myself, who loves boxing but doesn't always see the nuances of it. You know, I happily admit that, you know, when it comes to tactics and, you know, technical things, you're watching and looking for that sort of thing in the build-up. And they talked about that kind of the southpaw Fury and how Wilder might fall short. It led me to think, Bunty, that, you know, if Wilder does get wild, as he tends to do, and wilder and wilder, then, you know, if he may be left open to Fury countering him if he falls short enough and he squares himself up. And it made me think there's an offer that I think William Hill's going to be running on Saturday around 9:30 p.m., in one of these flash odds things where it's, and the offer, it made me think at first, I wonder if that could happen. Then I definitely thought, yeah, it could happen. That's both fighters to be knocked down in the fight, 7-1.
Well, you know what, Lee, that might just be the best currency we can create for people on this pod, because I have a great feeling that they could both end up toppling over, and there might even be a dispute about them toppling over. They might get caught at the end of a punch and get tangled up.
Absolutely.
There's going to be an awful lot of tangling up. So that 7-1's good. Just quickly, just briefly on the Fury as a southpaw, Freddie Roach, who's been brought in as a sort of on the night consultant, he's insisting, and he's, you know, he told me yesterday, he's adamant that Fury will do an awful lot of his fighting as a southpaw. That's one way to move slightly further away from the right hand, and of course that is of course Wilder's best punch, most feared punch. And Jay Diaz, who worked and has worked with Wilder for 10 years, he was talking to me also yesterday, and he was banging on quite eloquently, making an awful lot of sense about people saying, you know, why do people think Wilder will fall short? If he falls short, he'll adjust his feet. And then he said, go and have a look at some of the footage of our training sessions. Then I did, and sure enough, over the last 2 months, what Wilder's doing is taking a double step. Mm-hmm. So he's moving forward with his left foot, and then he's throwing a big right hand. But instead of letting the right hand go off the one step, he's taking a double step. So he's got another 7 inches closer. Now, the problem with that is it's an extra movement for a counter-puncher like Fury to see and to react to. However, Wilder's so fast, and if he's coming in from a side where Fury's vision might be obscured, then that can land. You know, there's a lot of unknowns here. It's that simple thing. Does Fury have the power to deter Wilder? Can Fury box for 12 rounds and give him a boxing lesson? And will Wilder miss for 12 rounds? And here's the second part of that: will Wilder miss? if Wilder does catch him, will Wilder do to him what he's managed to do so far to 39 of the 40 men that have shared the ring with him? What's really interesting is that when you find someone who fancies one of the fighters to win, they are so adamant that this fight is so easy. So they honestly, genuinely believe that it's a walkover for Wilder. He'll catch Fury anytime and knock him out. And the people that really believe in Fury think it's a walk in the park for him and that Wilder won't touch him. However, the majority of people are somewhere in the middle ground, and there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of what ifs, and I'm not sure. I've heard this week more I'm not sure than I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm really not sure.
the other one I wanted to ask you about is the records. I mean, and I've been guilty of this a bit, Buncey, saying that that Deontay Wilder's record is built, and it's a you think 40-0, wow. You know, he's 33 year old. He's been boxing since 2008, so it's a long time he's been boxing and amassed this record. And I've been guilty of making out he's been boxing in inverted commas bums, because I've never stepped foot in a ring in my life, so I wouldn't call any boxer a bum. But then when you compare it to Fury's record, Klitschko apart, you wonder, yep, is it any different, really? Is there much difference in there? Ortiz is a good, is a proper fighter. Areola, there's decent fighters on there, isn't there, for Wilder?
Take Vladimir Klitschko out, and Deontay Wilder has fought the better men. The eight men he's fought, or the seven men, it comes to eight fights he's had so far as world title fights. Seven defences, all by stoppage. That in those seven men in boxing, in modern boxing terms, are perfectly respectable and perfectly okay. We can't keep on going back and saying, well, look what he did and look what he did in history. You know, if you ever actually have a look at what people, there's very few heavyweights, remember, that won the title and made seven defenses. That already puts him in a unique club. People tend to forget that. For first reigns, a fighter winning a title and defending it seven times, there aren't that many. So you haven't got an instant blueprint to compare it against. But I can assure you, the seven men he's beaten in modern boxing terms are perfectly acceptable. And then the Luis Ortiz last time out just lifts them up a little bit higher. And Wilder is right. He said, all I keep hearing from you guys, both the Brits and the Americans, is how Fury's fought the better men. He fought Vladimir Klitschko. I fought Luis Ortiz, and nobody wanted to fight Ortiz. So I tend to agree with you, Lee.
Mm. Last one before we get your thoughts, is that Fury just won't be ready for this level of fight. He had two fights since his comeback, but they've been, the first one obviously was what it was. The second one, a bit more of a test, but obviously not a test. Can Fury possibly get into this level of fight with the preparation that he's had in terms of in the ring preparation?
Well, Fury insists he can. The people around him insist he can. And to all intents and purposes, when you watch him train, it looks like he can. However, that long break, it's over 3 years now since he beat Klitschko. And since then, he's had the one fight against a fairy, which meant nothing. It was it was a fun comedy. And then the Pianata fight where he hit a guy and tried out some moves and got a nice 10 rounds. And that's what that was. It was a perfectly acceptable and respectable 10 rounds. I'd like him to have had another fight like that, but against a slightly better guy, and got some more rounds, because, we know he's in the best condition of his life. And that's not me hyping it. He is in the best condition of his life, both mentally and physically. However, there is a point when you have a long break when your punch resistance could have suffered. And he's not a defensive maestro. His punch resistance could have suffered. Muhammad Ali came back having sort of barely been hurt, barely been wobbled, barely been shaken, came back after a longer break than this, was dropped in his third fight back, was hurt in his second fight back, and was hurt in several others. So what he did to adjust was become a defensive master, something that we tend to forget when we evaluate Muhammad Ali. And so perhaps Tyson Fury, perhaps one of the things we're going to see tomorrow is an even more defensive-minded Fury. And what I'm hoping, and he smiled when I put it to him, is that the best form of defense, and I hate this expression, is offense. So the best way to be defensive and control things is to be quite aggressive. And I think that's what we might end up seeing.
Buncey, I'm sure you've had a few thoughts on this during the week. Which way are you coming down? What are you going to go for?
Well, I might be going a bit with the herd here, so to speak, in the sense that when it was first announced, I thought, well, listen, if Fury can keep moving and find a little bit of the ghost of Tyson Fury, the man that beat Vladimir Klitschko, then he could and should be okay. But I think that's a little bit too simplistic. I think to carry that off in the later rounds, he's got to do certain things in the earlier rounds. And those certain things mean a higher guard, hands a bit higher, whether it's southpaw, whether it's orthodox, and get a little bit, not go too Wilder, but not retreat. Wilder needs you backing off to throw those crazy lunging punches. You know, there's no clips of Wilder knocking somebody out as Wilder's going backwards. You know, that's something that Wilder doesn't do, and he certainly can't throw punches as he goes backwards because his feet cross over. So Tyson has a high guard, a really high guard, and puts out big, powerful jabs, southpaw, orthodox. He could push Wilder back. If that happens in the later rounds when everyone seems to think, or most people seem to think, Wilder can catch Fury and take him out, well, Fury might still have the legs and he might still have the energy. Saying that, this kid Wilder can bang. I mean, he might have banged over a lot of fat, useless guys at the start of his career. But in amongst those 40 victims, 39 of them stopped short, there's about 15 or 16 or 17 that were perfectly acceptable names. So my gut feeling is that Fury will need not just the best performance of his life, he'll need a slightly different performance. If he does that, he'll win. And he might even get to Wilder late. But the sensible feeling is that Wilder will catch him. And don't rule out an early. Don't rule out something early. I mean, Wilder's not necessarily a fast starter, but all the stuff you've been watching, the press conference stuff, Wilder won't come out of this fight in it slow. Wilder will want to come out and make a statement. This is Wilder's coming out party. This is Wilder saying to the Americans, look, you've got a great champion here. Come and love me.
Wilder to win in rounds 1, 2 or 3, Buncey, is 9-1. With William
Wow,
Hill.
That's big.
And that's been enhanced from around the 13-2 marks. That's a special price on the match page there. That's that might get a few people thinking. There's a few in here. I mean, either there's a few interesting bets that Fury to have a point deducted if he tries to I was going to say old man him, but he's younger than Deontay Wilder. But yeah. you get my point. 6-1. You would maybe say that he had more ring craft. Wow. 6-1 for Fury to have a point deducted. Fury to win by decision, but also to be knocked down in the fight is 8-1. So there's a few in there.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, there's a few of those hashtag your odds in there. Wilder to win by stoppage is even money. Fury to win by stoppage is 11-2. So a big old price that. And Fury to win by decision is 9-4. Wilder to win by decision is 11-2. So there's a few different ways of going in there.
But listen, there's a lot of value bets there. Fury by stoppage, I like that one. But, you know, I have to say, if you're asking me to pick, I'm going to go down the stretch. He's got a lot of 7 and 8 round onward stoppages. I've got to fancy that last third
for Wilder.
A Wilder win, yeah. But well, here's the thing, all bets might be off after 30 seconds.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, the other one, if you just want to set the second half of the fight, Buncey, Wilder to win in rounds 7 through 12 is 3-1.
Wow.
So you've got plenty on your side there. I mean, if you think he's going to win the second half of the fight, that is literally Wilder to win in the second half of the fight, 3-1. Fury to win in the second half of the fight is 7-1. Obviously, that's has to end before the final bell, clearly, on that one. Fascinating, Buncey. It's going to be, I think it is going to be one of those. And you can bet in play. So, you know, if something does, you know, you guys often say, you know, the Klitschko fight with Fury, as soon as the first bell went almost, it was like, oh, hang on a minute.
You know,
so if you get to that and you think, wow, Wilder starts coming out blazing, then you can bet in play on this fight on the William Hill app or on the website. If you put in a treble or bigger together for the fight night, remember you can use your bet boost as well. And don't forget that flash odds that I mentioned earlier on will be available from around 9:30 on the app and on the website. Buncey, enjoy the rest of the build-up and enjoy the fight. I know you will. It's going to be some night, isn't it?
No, it's good. Listen, Lee, it's going to be memorable, and we're in for a bit of history here. It's a bit special. It's heavyweight fight of the year. It's a great fight. If he pulls it off, well, you know what? Fury does plenty of things. And one thing he does, we better get those odds ready for Spotted, Sports Personality of the Year, in a couple of weeks. Lee, it's been a pleasure.
Superb, Buncey. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.